you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Marian Yeagler. I'm on the Stewardship Committee, and it's a privilege to serve as a worship associate for today's service, which Reverend Tom Chulak is leading. He's our targeted minister, and Sandy Eaglin, church treasurer, and Claudia Miller are going to be participating also. She's on the stewardship team. So, welcome to Stewardship Sunday. Today, we are celebrating the opportunity to start a whole new chapter in this church. We plan on having a building going up in the back. We're going to have a new minister. And today, we're hoping to inspire people to figure out what they want this church to be. We want to open our doors together. The theme is opening our doors together. So we want to open the doors to a new minister, to a new building, to increased opportunities. And the stewardship campaign is going to give us the opportunity to do that. Some of you have stewardship packets available. And if you've been a regular pledger, you will have one personalized. And this is the brochure from this year, Opening Our Doors Together. Thanks to Saul Flanner and Kathy Walker for doing the touch-up for this. All the graphics, it's beautiful. And it gives you a lot of information. And now Kathy Slater from the Ministerial Search Committee will lead our chalice lighting.
By Leslie Takashi. All that we have ever loved and all that we have ever been stands with us on the brink of all that we aspire to create. A deeper peace, a larger love, a more embracing hope, a deeper joy in this life we share.
Unitarian Universalist, walking through the door just gives my heart a lift. People ask, what kind of church is this? Unitarian Universalist.
Hey, when is the pancake breakfast?
It was last week, Blaine.
Oh, missed it.
Who knows what I can't walk or talk? The list of Unitarian Universalists. I hold a never-ending question. All the hardest beat insists. I'm a Unitarian Universalist.
Hey, Vanessa, what time's coffee hour?
10:45.
Oh, okay.
Less than an hour.
Even though what you say might not be what I know, we sit all together. Every Sunday we go searching through our lives for the mystery of love and sifting through the time like an old-fashioned coven. I know this is my church, eternal talking about. These are all my people, our voices singing and shout. Unitarian, universalist, standing all together, we offer the world a gift, the all-important question of eternal compassion. See the morning star rising on the living tradition of Unitarian Universalism.
Hey guys, when is Music Sunday?
It's next Sunday.
In a week?
Yeah, 1 week.
Well, we better be practicing here.
Unitarian Universalist, walking through the door just gives my heart a lift. People ask, what kind of church is this? Unitarian Universalist.
So I'm going to read to you, some of you heard it last night at a stewardship event that we held, the letter that's included in the stewardship packets. These packets include a pledge card, the brochure that explains the ministries of this church, and this letter, which explains what our stewardship campaign is all about. Everyone who walks in the front doors of this church is greeted with the words, inspire, serve, grow, and whoever you are, we welcome you. In a few short words, our front doors say a lot about what matters to us in this congregation. Our mission is to inspire people to live caring lives of meaning and purpose. Our mission is to serve the world in ways particular and concrete. And our mission is to nurture growth both within ourselves and outward into the greater world which encompasses us. We open the doors of our church both inwardly and outwardly. We do this with love. We do this as a beloved community, with opening our doors together as our fiscal year 19 stewardship theme. We invite all of you to join in making the preparations needed to open the doors of our exciting future, to open the doors to welcome our new settled minister, to open the doors of our new fellowship hall, to open the doors to new opportunities to live in our commitment to social justice. We acknowledge and celebrate those leaders who have kept our doors open for the past 150 years through their integrity, creativity, and passion. As we honor their inspired leadership, we need to know that we too are leaders who are willing to do what's necessary to open the doors of our future. We need to pledge generously, and we need to pledge from the heart. Together, we need to create a sound financial basis which will support our growth and our commitment to opening our doors. Our proposed fiscal year 19 budget reflects a needed pledge increase of almost 20% over fiscal year 18. A large portion of this increase is necessary to attract an experienced and capable new settled minister who can help us successfully meet the challenges of our increasingly complex system as we continue to grow in size and space. Another large portion of this increase is needed to maintain the fair compensation salary increases which our well-deserving staff received in the fiscal year 18 budget. Through the generosity of the one-time Carol Gould Challenge. So that money from that challenge went mainly to staff compensation. The fiscal year 19 budget draft also reflects estimated operating costs for the new fellowship hall, an expense which has not been part of our past budgets. Though we hope you'll consider increasing your 2018 pledge by 20%, we'll certainly welcome whatever amount you're able to give. Dickens has been quoted as saying that a very small key can open a very large door. All of our pledge keys, small, medium, large, are important in preparing to joyfully open our doors together in the upcoming fiscal year.
Hello, my name is Andrew Rome, and I'm currently serving on the Board of Trustees for the church. And I'm here with Raylan, Evian, and Amanda for today's stewardship testimonial. I confess, I am hard on my kids. I expect a lot from them. I'm not as patient as I'd like, and I often focus on problems rather than virtues. But here's something I love about church. I bring my children here, and again, people see the best in my children rather than any problems. I bring them to Hogwarts, which they love, and they're surrounded by peers, older youth, and adults who inspire them, help them to grow, and recognize the amazing people they already are. Recently, I asked my children about a young person at Hogwarts who can be difficult at times. Both Evian and Raylan responded by explaining how they wish that this person could join their Hogwarts house, not just because they could be helpful to this child, but because they saw this other person's strengths and valued them. Through Hogwarts, my children saw the best in others rather than any flaws or shortcomings, and that makes me proud. I'm proud of my children, and I'm proud of my church, living out our values in good times and in hard times, seeing the worth of every person, and carrying that message out into the world. This is also a stewardship message. My spouse and I have decided to increase our annual stewardship pledge. We need a 20% budget increase, so we're increasing our pledge by 20%. This is an act of faith. I know as much as anyone what a year of uncertainty this has been. But if there is anything I am willing to put my faith in, it is this church. It is us, for myself, for my family, and for what we can do in the world together. Thank you.
This is a selection called Singing the Soup by Meg Barnhaus, which is, I selected it because it reminded me of our community and the kind of things that we do so often. Singing the Soup. An ice storm hit the other night. Our house is still without power. The world looks spectacular covered in ice, like all the trees are made of Waterford crystal, catching the light and scattering it in a confetti of rainbows. Some magic happened last night. Nancy, a church member famous for her soup and bread, called to say she had vegetables in her fridge that weren't long for this world. She offered to come to the church. She offered to come to the church where there was power to make soup for people that did not have power. I met her with my own bag of vegetables that had seen better days. Sugar peas soon glowed like jewels on the cutting board. Nancy knew which vegetables to put into the soup first, which to saute so they would be soft enough, which had to wait until near the end so that they would go in and hold up. My first singing teacher used to tell me that all the notes should come out at about the same level of intensity and volume. Nancy was doing that with the vegetables. She was singing that soup. Nancy also brought 3 loaves of wheat bread ready to rise and a couple of loaves of cinnamon raisin. The building began to smell better and better. She offered me the heel of one of the cinnamon raisin loaves hot with fresh butter. Church members began to arrive. We decided the cold wasn't as bad as the darkness, that we missed showers less than we missed reading. Others with power had brought food too, so we had plenty. We decided that since we seemed to get one of these ice storms every few years or so, we would just make it common knowledge that on the first full day without power, we would have a soup supper at the church. It is warm to gather with members of your community and endure a hardship together. It is nourishing to see people feeling the desire for care, to care for one another, and then acting on it. Our whole community here is like a good soup, with ingredients brought by everyone, lots of colors, flavors, and textures that can feed a body and a soul. We sing our soup together.
So let us enter into a spirit of silence and of openness. however it is that you can find that center inside of you. As we gather here this morning, may we feel the yellow light on our backs. May we also feel it on our front if we're facing the yellow light. For we are surrounded by light. We're surrounded by life itself, where we come here in the midst of love to be with one another. We come with who we are, both the beautiful and the struggle. We come as human beings in human community. And we recognize that in human community, that the most important form of love is forgiveness. Not only for ourselves, but for each other. May we connect to the life that is greater than we are. May we know that in the larger realm, we're all connected, one to another, and to all of creation. May we feel that connection. May we know we're not alone. May we know that we are part of something larger. So in peace and with humility, let us sense our togetherness.
Thank you.
Isn't that just one of the great hymns? My gosh. Coming out of that contemporary woman's soul, Shelley. I don't know if you ever met Shelley, but she died a few years ago. But one of the great songwriters for Unitarian Universalism from Cincinnati. So she's an Ohioan. But a number of the songs in our new hymn book came out of her creativity and her music. And this is one of them. Well, it was Friday morning. I got up real early, about 4 in the morning, this was 2 days ago, because I had to pack and get ready to come to Kent. And so I packed up, I looked outside, and I saw the snow coming down. And it was really a lot of snow, because I live 2 hours north of New York City. And the snow was coming down. I thought to myself, well, I'm going to get in the car, and I'm going to drive to the airport, because I have a hunch that this kind of snow can't last that long. So I went off to the Albany Airport, Albany, New York Airport, which is about 45 minutes north of where I live with my wife, Nicole. We live in a rural area on an old kind of farmland, so we live out in the country. So I'm a real believer that when it snows, you don't let it stop you unless it stops the car. If it stops the car, then you can't go, right? But as long as the car is moving forward, you got a chance. Our driveway is a quarter of a mile long. So I figure if I made it out of the driveway, I can make it to the road. And if I make it to the road, I can make it to the next road. And if I make it to the next road, I might get to the state highway. And if I make it to the state highway, I can get to the interstate. It's all a matter of just taking life one step at a time when it snows. So I get to the airport. It takes me about 20 minutes longer, which wasn't too bad, considering we already probably had, 7 or 8 inches of snow already on the ground. It was a very wet snow. I come, and I had planned to pick up my suit and a white shirt for this morning, you know. But the laundry was closed, and so I said, well, okay, I'll just take whatever I have, and luckily I had this outfit here, and so that's what ended up happening. But I realized they were closed, and so I get to the airport, and I pull into the garage, because I figure, well, when I come back, my whole car is going to be completely filled with snow unless I put it in the garage. And I go in, and it's fairly early, and I get all my stuff, you know, check in at the counter, go through security, have some breakfast, because I hadn't had any breakfast, and I get down to the gate. And I look outside, and the wind is blowing, I mean, at a level that it was clear to me very soon that there is no way that any plane is gonna come out of the Albany Airport today. It was so, and so I went up to the ticket agent. I said, well, I'd like to cancel my flight. I need to drive to Kent because I will never make it. And as it turned out, Friday flights are actually coming out today. So there would have been no way that I would have been able to make it here. And I was raised in Chicago. I've lived in the North my whole life, and snow, you know, is a part of life. And so the key to snow is just to slow down and just to go as slow as the snow allows you to go. So I get out on the New York Thruway, and it is just blowing. And there's a few other people out there with me and a few trucks, and there's one lane, and you know, I'm driving along, and I say, well, I wonder how far this snowstorm is. I was heading in the right direction. I was heading west, right? Because if I was heading east, I would have been in real trouble, right? Because what happened in Boston and everything with winds up to 70, 80, 90 miles an hour coming in. So I get going, and this wet snow's coming down, and there's whiteouts, and there's trucks passing, and, you know, one time this truck pulls over to clean off his windshield wiper blades. I pull in right behind him on the side of the throughway. There's nobody hardly there except for me and a few people, because you can just pull off to the side and you take the ice off the windshield wipers and you bang them a little bit and you get back on the road. Well, after about 6 hours, I got to Rochester. Now that's, you know, it was quite something. I was listening to love songs on my Sirius radio. I figured if love songs are going to get me there, because I didn't know what else to do except for just trying to fill myself with some really nice music that would make me very calm as best I could. So I finally get to Rochester and the snow stops. This was the, you know, the snow that I think maybe you had a little bit of it on Thursday. Is that, am I right on that? When you had a little bit of a snowstorm, it wasn't 12 inches or 14, which is what ended up happening. And I said, oh, the beautiful dry pavement. You know, there's nothing like dry pavement after you've been driving along. So I and the sun was shining from the west. And the trees were absolutely gorgeous. And I said, isn't this magnificent? You come through a storm, and what happens sometimes is the sun shines, the trees are gorgeous and glistening, and you end up just saying, my gosh, you can come through. A number of years ago, I was in a gospel choir. Now, this was one of the great things. I'd never sung gospel before. But one of the songs that has stuck with me, and I started singing it just after I got to Rochester, and it's entitled, The Storm is Passing Over. And it kind of goes like this. Encourage my soul and help me carry on, for the night is dark and I am far from home. Thanks be to God. The morning sun appears, the storm is passing over, the storm is passing over, the storm is passing over, alleluia. And when you do it in a gospel way, it really gets going. If you know this, it's one of the great gospel songs. I don't know, how do you sing that at all, the storm is passing over? Well, I would really encourage sometime. It is just one of the great songs that helps you. Now, some of the traditional language, but we can handle that. We can handle the traditional, more traditional gospel kind of language. So the storm is passing over. The storm is passing over. Alleluia. But I thought about this journey of coming through the snow and everything. And as you can imagine, I like challenges. Actually, it was hard, but it was joyful to come through the snow into the dry pavement. It's kind of a metaphor for life, isn't it? Come through the storm, you hope you're going to come out on the other side, dry pavement, with the sun glistening off of the trees. Now, I've been retired from ministry for 7 years. My wife and I own the local bookstore, so I've been interviewing authors. Because that's my job, is to read books and interview authors. That's what I've been doing for 7 years. But in all honesty, I'm here because of Trump. I needed to decide what my calling was at a deeper level, and I decided to be recalled to ministry. And it just happened the UUA had this program for retired ministers called Targeted Ministry. I said, sign me up. I'm ready to go. I'm a little rusty. I don't know quite what I'm doing. I mean, I feel like I'm really out of the sink of what's going on. But sign me up, because I think maybe I can be recalled somewhere where I might be of some help. And it was, I think, this snowstorm and other things. It just reminds me that trust and faith are important, and I use those words interchangeable. One's a psychological word and one is a theological word, but trust and faith is very important in life. And the belief that you're going to come through is as important as the actually coming through, Because without the belief that you're going to come through, you often don't come through. You back away. I would still probably be at the Albany airport, or I would have gone back home, right? I could have said, I could call up and say, I can't make it. But sometimes you just believe you can make it through, and you make it through. And that's important, because at the heart of our congregations, I believe, is the statement that we make to each other. You can make it through. You can come through. The storm is passing over. There is dry pavement. The light does shine. That's the message of Unitarian Universalism. It's not necessarily the message we always hear, but I believe that's the heart of Unitarian Universalism. It is that we're always becoming, and the becoming requires us to have a belief that we can come through. So, in coming to work with the congregation, your congregation, the Kent Church, I thought about this short journey that I had, and I thought about the congregation. I thought to myself, well, I think the congregation has clearly been through a tough time. It's a little heavy and wet, and the visibility is limited, right? And sometimes you got to stop and just take those wiper blades and bang that ice off of them so you can keep going, right? And you've had to bang the ice off the wiper blades a few times. But that's okay, because you kept going so that you could have dry pavement and the light shining through the trees. And when you go on a journey, it isn't all about the destination. It's not all about the results. It's about what happens as you move along in life. You have to believe somehow it's going to work. So the interesting thing is, I came here in January, which is the winter, right? That's what happened. But I also know that spring is just around the corner. I understand there's some flowers blossoming somewhere in the neighborhood here. Somebody told me about them. I didn't see them. In other words, this is probably just about right for where the congregation is right now. We're March. The flowers are starting to come, right? Yeah, I can feel them in the congregation. The flowers are coming. And spring is just a little ways down the road here. The storm is passing over. Yeah, there'll be some branches down. There'll be some cleanup. There'll be residue. That's what happens after storms. But the storm is passing over. You got to believe it, but you also have to experience it. Belief isn't enough. Now, in 1868, 150 years ago, this building was built. The doors were opened to this building right after the Civil War. Think about it. The most horrendous experience in American history, the Civil War. What we're dealing with right now is minor in relationship to the Civil War. And there were people here in Kent where the railroads were coming together and where there's movement that had heard and understood and knew about universalism. And they said, in the face of the Civil War, what are we called to do? And obviously, a number of them said, we're called to start a brand new congregation here called Universalist. Because we need to proclaim to the world that God is love, that we are all saved, but salvation comes as a result of us working together to make this world a better place. And human beings are fundamentally good, even though we can be amazingly destructive. The ancestors gathered. Your ancestors in this congregation gathered, and they opened their doors. But they just didn't open the building doors. They had to open their hearts. They had to open and be welcome. They had to be able to say, please come. And people came. How many people in 150 years have come through these doors? Hundreds of thousands? Million? I don't know. Million sounds a little high, doesn't it? But all right, hundreds of thousands. I'll go with that. I think I was going to stretch it because it sounded good. when I said it, I don't. What do you think? I mean, do you think? I don't know. Maybe there isn't a million. I don't know. But, and the numbers that have come in the doors of this building here have sometimes gone up and sometimes gone down and up and down. Now, the most recent past is probably the most that people have come in to the doors here in terms of numbers. People coming in, people coming out, not only members, but also the larger community as well. Up and down, but you've come through. And the present is no exception. So, doors, you don't leave your doors here always open. Sometimes you lock them, you close them, because you need rest. But everyone here, metaphorically, has a key to this congregation. Or a code. I even have a code. I got a code so I could get in the buildings, which was amazing. And each person, the key that you have is in some ways the key of welcoming yourself to yourself and then welcoming others to what it is that you have found. It really does have to do at some level with being hospitable. One of my favorite theologians is Henry Nouwen. I don't know if some of you have read Henry Nouwen, a Catholic theologian, but what I call, I love universalist Catholics. There's a few of them. And when they come together, they often put things in place that others don't. Universalist Catholics, and Nouwen's one of those universalist Catholics. And he writes, in a world of strangers, we witness a painful search for a hospitable place where life can be found. Although many, we might even say most strangers in the world, become easily victims of fearful hostility, it is possible for men and women to offer an open and hospitable space where strangers can cast off their strangeness and become fellow human beings. At our best, as Unitarian Universalists, we offer an open and hospitable space where strangers can cast off their strangeness and become fellow human beings together. To keep the doors open of this congregation, each of you is important. We need love and care, but clearly the congregation needs a commitment of time and talent and, yes, treasure. Now, you knew that eventually on Stewardship Sunday, I'd get to money, right? Because what Stewardship Sunday without mentioning the word money? Not because it's the most important thing in the congregation. It isn't. But without your treasure being given, the doors of this congregation close. Without commitment to treasure, to giving treasure, then the doors, if we want to open them wider, don't have a chance necessarily to be opened as easily. Now, all of us have our resources, and we decide where we're going to spend our resources. So where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your talent? Where do you spend your money? And one of the things about congregations that I just love is that at our best, we're trying to help people find integrity. Human beings to find each other. We're holding each other accountable so that our values are congruent with our actions. And when those come together, you have this sense of rightness. There's a rightness inside of us. And we're asked, are our values put into action? Is there a congruence? For all of you, this congregation and its principles, and hopefully its practices, are of value. To nurture this principled community, we all need to give what we can give based upon the resources we have. Some people have more time. Some people have more talent. Some people have more money. And we're asked to give our treasure to what we treasure. Isn't that what we do in life? We give our treasure to what we treasure. You know? Now, I've often heard this statement, and I'm sure you have too. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I think that might be biblical. But I've come to learn to pay attention that when somebody says that, I ask the question, but where does your giving come from? And what nourishes you? Is it all just about giving? In other words, you don't have a right to receive? I said, if you cut yourself off from reception, then you cut yourself off from your very life. We need to learn to pay attention to what we receive, what has been given to us. Because we give fundamentally out of gratitude for what we've received. So stay in touch with what you've received from this congregation. The testimonials, like Andrew and the family, wonderful, because it's about what has been received. Testimonials are about affirmations of how our lives and the lives of others have been touched by this congregation. Well, the words of Dag Hammarskjöld in our hymnal here is a wonderful one. Listen to these words because it's the heart of stewardship. Each morning, we must hold out the chalice of our being. He starts the chalice of our being. Yeah? To receive, to carry, and then to give back. The chalice of our being. So what do you receive? How do you carry it inside yourself? And how do you give back? In a few minutes, another way of talking about stewardship is actually an offertory little hymn. And it has all of what stewardship is really all about. From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and by this we live. That is the heart of the matter. Receive, give, share, live. Give, receive, give, share, live. Receive, give, share, live. That's the heart of it all. Four words. So be it.
Will the ushers please come forward? As I was reflecting on what I received from the church, I came up with a short list of what could be a very long list. But when I thought about what I am most grateful
to this community for, I said to myself, growing my edges in spirit and in community, the food and the fun, solace and comfort, and a space to check in with reality, a way to give agency to my yearning for social justice, the blessings of friendship and the conviviality of kinship, and a place where love is a verb. So what you receive, you have reflected on, and we want to have you complete these responses and place them in the offering basket when it comes around. We will celebrate all of these blessings in a collage we'll create in Fessenden Hall.
Over the many miles we have traveled on our way, over the hopes and trials we have come now to this day. Now is the time of learning, listening, building harmony. Now is the time of growing, willing, risking to be free. Come dance with us, raise hands with us. Come work with us as we move through history. Come sing with us, make the bells ring with us. Come love with us, may we hold your company. Oh, you seeker, will you join us on your way? I am in you, you are in me, we welcome you. The celebration, we're the joy, and now is the time. We are the best of the poetry, we're the rhythm and the rhyme. Well, I am another you, and therefore you are another me. Let's circle it up, let's dance, and join our hands in company. Come dance with us, raise hands with us. Come work with us as we move through history. Come sing with us, make the bells ring with us. Come love with us, may we hold your company. Oh, you seeker, will you join us on your way? I am in you, you are in me, we welcome you this day. Oh, you seeker, will you join us on your way? I am you, you're you too.
Together we share, by this we live. Receive, give, share, live. So be it.